we've just witnessed these young ladies take a big step in their lives today. But one thing I remind our youth of from time to time, that your faith life is a journey. There is no finish line, no final destination. They've made a huge step in their lives today, but that doesn't mean that they've arrived. Check it off the list, they're done. Today is just a new beginning. As I mentioned, they have been through years of Sunday school training. They've had fabulous teachers. They've had wonderful parents that have guided them and raised them to know and love Jesus. But today, we celebrate a starting point, a fresh start. The promise of a new start is not just for our confirmands. It is true for you and me as well. Today is a new day, a chance for a clean slate. The life we want to start living, the life we desperately want, can start right now. You just have to choose to live it. During the days of the early church, people who were new to the faith in Colossae were just like you and I. They were excited, a little apprehensive about this new faith, confused, but just eager to know God. Paul wrote to the people with these words: "My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. Let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Just start living it." It sounds so easy, almost too good to be true, but it really is that simple. We all know, we've all heard the promises of God. We all have the knowledge that Jesus came, he died for our sins, that he came so that we could also receive the Holy Spirit. We all have that power dwelling in our hearts. That's all we need. We have been given the knowledge, received Jesus, yet something stops all of us from living it. We like to say, and I am guilty of this myself, I'm guilty of saying that I used to be a lukewarm Christian. I considered playing the little coffee trick on you that Miss Clara does to Elizabeth in the movie The War Room. Elizabeth opens up and shares with Miss Clara, "You know, Miss Clara, my prayer life is just, I don't know, it's lukewarm, I guess. Not too hot, not too cold, I'm just somewhere in the middle. I know God, I know he's there, I'm just stuck." She goes on to say, "Miss Clara, we're just regular people. We go to church on occasion, we're good people, but we're busy. We've got full schedules. You know, we both work full-time jobs, and we've got this really involved and busy daughter. I try to make time for God every day, but sometimes it's just lukewarm because I'm too busy." About that time, Miss Clara, with her mm-hmms, sets down a lukewarm cup of coffee in front of Elizabeth to illustrate the point that nobody drinks their coffee lukewarm. You either have it cold or hot. There's no middle ground. There's no way to just sometimes live a life with Jesus. After all, Jesus didn't just die for you sometimes. He doesn't just give you the Holy Spirit and take it back away from you when you're too busy. He doesn't yo-yo around with your heart like that. No, Paul says, live it. We claim that our problems, our hectic schedules, keep us from living out our faith. But the funny thing is, in that same breath, we admit that we want answers, that we have prayers, that we have problems. Like Elizabeth, you may also be struggling in your marriage. Like Elizabeth, you may fail to truly see your children every day. You might miss the fact that they won an award on their team. Like Elizabeth, you may be exhausted with extremely sore feet at the end of a day because you've been walking through it by your own power. Elizabeth wasn't lukewarm. If she really examined her life, her faith was ice cold. Getting vulnerable with you, I have a confession, and that is that I was a self-proclaimed lukewarm Christian until a few months ago. I would read devotionals simply to check them off my to-do list. I would try my hardest to get stuff when I out of my reading the Bible, but I was reading it on my own power. Yeah, occasionally I'd have a moment of clarity, feel like something spoke to me, but most often I craved answers. I longed to hear from God, but I got nothing. I prayed out of obligation, not out of desire. I came to church, well, because it's my job. When I was able to actually sit in worship and just get a sermon, I did get great insight. But as Haley Boland shared, those lessons, my Sunday school socks, they just sat in my laundry basket the rest of the week. It wasn't until I sampled the Bible in a way that I invited Jesus into that time as I read, that I put the work of understanding not on my shoulders, but on his. And that's when I went from cold to hot. You see, you can't crave something that you've never sampled. I joked with Quick last week as we sat around in our Lenten Bible feast. He kept offering me the donuts that Fred had so sweetly shared with all of us. And I said, no, because if I don't taste it, if I don't know how good it is, I'm not going to eat 10. And it's the same way with God's word. You can't miss God's word. You can't crave his word when you've never tasted it. For some reason, I used to be under this impression that I had to wait and get some sign, some stirring in my heart to be able to get something out of the Bible. I was waiting, and I don't know what for. Some of our youth have shared with me vulnerably sometimes that they put God on the back burner because they say, you know, I'm young. I don't really need God right now. I'll get to him when I get older. And that's a major reason why most couples don't come to church until they have kids. We'll start going to church as a family when we have a family. I'll pray when I need something. I'll read the Bible when I have time or I know how. I'll go to that small group once this big project, its work is over and I have more time. I'll apologize to my spouse tomorrow when I cool off. We have excuses for everything, and I have been the worst excuse maker. But I'll tell you something. Now that I've sampled, now that I've tasted that sweet connection, and I've began living by not my power but his, I desperately do not want to go back. I wish I could tell you that the last few months of this revelation for me have been awesome and rosy colored and things in my life have been perfect, but kind of the opposite. I've experienced disappointment, grief, great loss, and I've struggled through life just as much, if not more, the last couple months than I did before. But the difference is I've surrendered control. I literally crave my Bible when I'm stressed out or worried. His words are now not memorized, because I hate memorizing stuff. I'm horrible at it. But his words are still ingrained in my heart that even though the wording may be off a little bit, the messages of his word, when I'm stuck in a traffic jam with JB in the back seat screaming, my phone buzzing, emails flying in, Jimmy's off on a travel trip somewhere, I'm so stressed out. And then all of a sudden, the exact words that I need to hear come to my mind. The peace that I need just takes over. That is how you simply live it out. That is what Paul is referring to when he says, stop making it so complicated. To live a life with Jesus does not mean you become a monk and you sit there with your Bible and you just sit there day in and day out studying and praying. You got to live life. I love the line from the Message version. He says, school is out. Stop studying and just live it. Spend some time in his word each day to learn and grow, but then live it. You can't use the excuse anymore. I'm still learning. I'm new to the faith. It doesn't work. Man, I wish that every single one of you would walk out of here today just on fire for Jesus and never turn back. But that's not reality. The amazing thing is, even when you and I fail in our desire for Jesus, he still desires you way more. He will not stop pursuing you. He will not stop loving you. As Fred shared about the prodigal son who returns last week, the second that you hit your knees in prayer, even if it's for the first time in years, and only because you're in a crisis, there is still rejoicing in heaven, angels singing. Jesus is dancing, saying, I heard from Jimmy today. Izzy reached out to me today. Even when he knows that the moment of your return is really short, as soon as you get your answer, you're moving on back to living life the way that you want to, he still rejoices over you that much. When I think of the mess that I am most of the time, I'm in complete awe that somebody could still love me. Paul reminds us that one easy thing, an extremely important thing that we need to do in order to simply live out this life with Jesus is to be wary of the world. Satan is at work in this world. I have to think that with technology and the ease of widespread panic and hatred and lies of millions of people within a second, he must delight in the internet. It's made his job a lot easier. But while the people that Paul was addressing in Colossia, they didn't have news, they didn't have TV sets, they didn't have the internet at their fingertips, but they still struggled in their world with the cultural influences that tripped them up and caused a lot of confusion. Paul goes on in Colossians to say, see to it that no one takes you captive through the hollow and deceptive philosophy which depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Our society is what drives so much of our problems. We think we're too busy because we're trying to live up to Pinterest-perfect versions of staged lives. We think we're not worthy because we follow these social media stars on Instagram and allow ourselves to fall into the comparison trap. Yes, for those of you who do not know, there are now celebrities, both teen and adult, who are only famous because they have a lot of followers on Instagram. One such new Instagram celebrity is only famous because she verbally assaulted her mother on national TV and bragged about the fact that she dropped out of the school in seventh grade. And this child is now getting paid $40,000 to make appearances at speaking events. Our society isn't necessarily telling us we should be like that person. However, it shows what we value. It's entertainment for us. But with most of those celebrities, it is about keeping up with the Joneses. Our society defines what we should look like, act like, believe, and the way that we should treat ourselves and others. But the thing is, for every article, celebrity, TV show, podcast telling you to live, think, and believe this way, there is an article, celebrity, TV show, podcast telling you to live, believe, and act the exact opposite. No wonder we're tired. We're too tired to listen to Jesus. Our world is so loud and hectic, we can't drown it all out just to hear him. It's impossible to live out a life that he calls us to stand upon his word. So what do we do? How do we simply live our faith when there is so much pressure on us, so much confusion and distraction? How do we simply live it? Well, we cannot ignore the latter. We cannot pretend that there is no pressure because I hate to tell you, you got to go to your job in the morning. Those mean kids are going to be mean at school tomorrow. You're still going to have to work through the worldly junk that we do. And since those things aren't going anywhere, we have a choice. We can choose to try to live out our faith based on our own power, all while still taking on the world alone. Or we can choose to get tough. We can choose to get battle ready and prepare to take on the world armed with the word of God. We can choose to fight, as Paul said, deeply rooted in him, well constructed upon him and his truth. You know how, and those of you taking advantage of our Lenten Bible feast are hopefully beginning to fight in the right way. But in case you're like me, need a little extra motivation, I'm not sure if it's going to work. Do we have sound for video? Awesome. We'll watch this.
The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. So today, I will give no place to fear or failure. I will not accept a trace of apathy in my attitude or actions. I will reject complacency and embrace the greatness that God has planted inside of me. I will waste no opportunity to glorify God and maximize everything He has entrusted to me. I will fight. My battle is not against flesh and blood, but against a spiritual enemy who opposes me. So I will draw the battle lines and face my enemy with a bold determination. My enemy fights against me because he fears me. Every time I resist him, he must flee. And every time he reminds me of my past, I will remind him of his future. I will make no excuses. But through every obstacle, I will fight no way. I will not procrastinate my progress. I will not defer my destiny. I will not waver when I'm weak. I will not cower when my circumstances take a turn for the worse. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will fight. Even if I lose the battle, I will win the war. Because I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I will reject the lies that echo in my mind, telling me that I don't have what it takes. My best is behind me.
Okay, I'll send out the link to that video. It's really good. So basically the message behind the video is, I will fight. I will be prepared. I will be battle ready when I enter the world. So today we're going to be reading Psalm 23 during our Lenten Bible feast. While the words of this beautiful psalm are calming and extremely peaceful, don't forget their power. Fred shared last week and many times during their struggle and their fight with cancer, Sally and Fred chose to fight with these words that we are reading today. They are rooted in their hearts and in their minds. Don't waste the opportunity that you have today. Don't waste the time that you're going to be given to get into God's word, to share with one another how you're going to live it out and how you will walk into your week battle ready. Amen.